And it's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And we're joined, I believe, by Corey Weir of Unifor. Are you there, Corey?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Corey. You've got a great new website, Solinet, solinet.ca. And this is Labor Day. We need to talk to somebody who's actually trying to... I've read an article by you where you have argued that Labor spends too much time on the defensive and ought to spend more, ought to be somewhat more combative. And I think I got that right.
Absolutely, yes.
You feature a great article at solinet.ca, which speaks to the issue. It comes up a lot, especially on Labor Day and other days when we talk about the labor movement, that should we be cooperating the way some say that we need management, the union, to pull together to make the big industry and economy work? But you have an article, lead article, about how an idea of labor management cooperation at Chrysler Fiat turned out kind of unpleasantly and maybe as an omen of what ideas about cooperation lead to. Tell us a little bit about what happened there.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, you're speaking about the Ike Abelli and from former FCA and now former General Motors and Holyfield from the UAW. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, and as more comes out, we're finding that there are more players in the situation. What happened is that Ike Abelli and Holyfield conspired over at least 6 years to both enrich themselves and also to pay off other top UAW reps. Mm-hmm. So this brazen theft involved diverting funds from the negotiated National Training Center to pay for such things as a Ferrari Spider, the $350,000 car, two solid gold Montblanc pens for Ike Abelli, and also paying off the mortgage on the house owned by Morgan and Holyfield. So basically they were using this joint training thing as a slush fund.
Yeah, this is as old as history of the labor movement. There's always smart management guys who say, why don't we form we'll put in some money and we'll have a mutual project together. And it becomes a way to line the pockets of certain people who lose their union principles.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and that's not a, you know, some people would claim that this is a few corrupt individuals, you know, this thing happens from time to time. But, you know, like you say, this is the inevitable consequence of decades of a culture of class collaboration in the labor movement. I mean, this is a result of the illusion that we have anything in common with our employers.
Yeah. What you do, you produce the wealth and they keep it.
Oh, yeah, this is true, yeah.
Well, by the way, what reaction are you getting to this? I like the fact you got a great site. It seems to me shows the internet as a way for some type of grassroots democracy and for people to communicate with each other without being policed and silenced. How's the reaction been to solinet.ca?
Well, there's been two reactions. Either people have been entirely supportive of it, and I'm speaking of mostly rank-and-file workers, you know, from coast to coast. I was speaking to some people in BC just yesterday that are really interested from other Unifor locals. On the flip side of that, though, there are some people in leadership who have taken exception to this, to put it mildly. So they've...
they think the brothers are out of order.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying, you know, you can't be publicly criticizing the... They're saying publicly attacking the president, but I think, you know, criticizing ideas is much different than a personal attack on somebody. And, you know, I don't think anyone should be above reproach, especially not in a democratic union.
Well, when you speak out, they remain in their post. You know, if you criticize, they don't lose their jobs, right?
No, exactly.
By the way, is this? What do you think? You're not the only one, by the way. There's some lovely, terrific internet sites growing up in the union movement. Is this a trend? And is it for you? You're working. You're a GM and have regular work and all that. How difficult is it to do it?
Well, you know what? That's the beauty of the internet, right? It allows for you know, this cross pollination of ideas, pollinization for you know. Ultimately, on a global scale. Mm-hmm. And for rank-and-file workers who are, you know, folks like myself, I'm a millennial. I've grown up, inherited a terrible economy. There's been downward pressure ever since I've entered the workforce, and, you know, things just aren't the same as they used to be. So, mm-hmm. you know, for us, we're very frustrated looking at this situation. Like, you know, what can we do about this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, fortunately, we have this tool available to us to mm-hmm. kind of edge around some of the bureaucracy and have those real meaningful debates and discussions about, you know, where our union's going, what that yes. fight needs to look like, and, you know, how we can improve things for future generations instead of continuing this backward slide.
Yeah. We're speaking to Corey Weir, Unifor Solidarity Network. And, Corey, you were part of the... there was an attempt to kind of show that the youth of Canada loved the Prime Minister. You were part of the group that didn't... join in the enthusiasm. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Since I've got a chance to talk to an actual person who was there, what happened that day, and why did you turn your back when the Prime Minister was introduced as a great friend of Labour?
Yeah, well, you know, it was at the CLC Young Workers Summit, a great event. You know, credit to the organizers for all their hard work for putting it on. But in the final hours of the one evening there, they said, you know, we have a special guest coming tomorrow. You know, we're with a wink and a nudge, right? We all kind of intuited that it was going to be the Prime Minister. So obviously folks on the left in organized labor here, especially in the young workers, you know, we decided that we need to get together and at least do something, right? So we all met and for probably a couple hours and hashed out different ideas and things that we could do to, you know, address this problem. And ultimately it was decided that we were going to do basically the least confrontational thing that was possible, to my mind, and that was to stand up and turn our backs on the Prime Minister when he walked in, because mm-hmm. his neoliberal policies have turned yeah. his back on workers for generations now.
And you did do it.
Yes.
And the country noticed, and a lot of people felt really good about it, because there's always that eerie feeling that somebody's making political hay at your expense, which you don't seem to appreciate.
Yeah, no, not at all. And, you know, we were surprised at, you know, the reaction. It actually got international attention, you know, with the headlines, the honeymoon is over, right? And, you know, but, you know, that action spoke to, you know, this feeling within, especially young workers, but, yeah. you know, workers of all ages.
Yeah, it turned out that young workers actually are not enamored of handsome young men just because they're young.
No,
they want to know what their politics are.
Absolutely.
This is Corey Weir, Unifor Solidarity Network. One last question. You also got international attention because at the Unifor Canadian Council meeting, they passed a resolution on the matter of Palestine and the BDS. And what was that? Just tell us what that was.
That motion, it came out of our Local 222 Union and Politics Committee. And it was basically, it was very similar, almost identical, actually, to a resolution passed by the BC Green Party about a year ago or so, maybe a bit mm-hmm. longer. And it was just in support of Palestinian self-determination.
Mm-hmm.
And also against the, you know, this pushback on boycott, divestment, and sanctions, or BDS, that we've seen from this government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we equate this to apartheid in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, the parallels are undeniable. Even folks mm-hmm. down there are saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided, you know what, we're going to submit this motion. We were expecting a lot of resistance to it because it always, you know, it stirs things up. It's a touchy subject, right?
Yes,
because
it
then
is.
You get accusations of anti-Semitism, of course, thrown into the mix, right?
Yes.
But we thought, you know, the political moment is right for us. A decade has passed since our old President Buzz Hargrove spoke emphatically against it in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, you know what, CLC passed a motion in support of the Palestinian hunger strike, mm-hmm. The prison strike that was happening. So we got it together, and it passed overwhelmingly.
And again, you got international attention, and I really congratulate you. By the way, you also show that when people listen, discuss it, they can make their own decisions, it's not a matter of anybody running anybody's flank. It was democratic all the way. And I congratulate you. I think it's great.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We've been speaking to Corey Weir, Unifor Solidarity Network, solinet.ca. Corey, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.